and we pause just for a minute before the sermon to remember. Love happens. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Forgive as you have been forgiven. I want to share with you a few verses this morning, but it's not our main text. Our main text is going to come out of Matthew 18. But before I go to Matthew 18, I just want to remind you of something many of you probably are familiar with, the Lord's Prayer that begins with, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Interesting that quite often we leave out this last piece that's part of that conversation that Jesus says when the disciples say, teach us how to pray. One of the things that he adds to that conversation that we don't often hear as part of what we call the Lord's Prayer is in Matthew chapter 6, 14 and 15. This is part of that conversation. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, what does trespasses mean? It's just basically people who wronged you, or how you've wronged God. Sin is another word for it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love, your mercy, your forgiveness that you so freely offer. Help each of us here this morning to understand the importance of us to have the attitude of mercy, to offer that forgiveness that you have offered to us. Help each of us here to set aside all of the stuff that's going on, Lord. I'm sure each of us here has something that's stirred up, that's kind of we're wrestling with this morning. Help us to push it aside and simply listen to your still, small voice. Give us the strength, the wisdom to respond when you speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Some of you may be familiar with these two individuals. In October of 2019, 30-year-old Amber Geiger, who is on the left, she was a police officer in Texas, and she was convicted in October of 2019 for killing 26-year-old Botham Jean, the man on the right. If you know the story, and listen, there's all kinds of it on the internet, and I encourage you, if you have interest, if you want a little bit more, learn a little bit more about it, go on and read. But here this police officer who was off duty, she was heading home and she gets to her apartment, and she mistakenly goes on to the wrong level. So I don't know the specifics, but like she was supposed to be on floor 2 and she went on floor 3, or vice versa. She went on the wrong floor in her apartment building. And as she gets there, she goes to her door and she's distracted. She's having a conversation with somebody, and she's distracted and she recognizes the door is ajar. So I don't know about you, but if I come home, I'm going to be a little bit frightened or concerned when I see the door is ajar. So her door was ajar. And as she pushes through the door, she sees somebody sitting in what she thinks is her apartment. She has a pistol on her side. She feels as though this individual is an intruder, and she felt threatened and responded and shoots and kills the man. Now this man is sitting in his own apartment, eating ice cream at the time. Could you imagine what she went through, what her family went through? She was, again, in October 2019, convicted and given 10 years for this. Now if you do go online and you are curious and you want to hear a little bit more about this story, I want to encourage you to take the time and watch the video of this happening. This is his brother, the man who was killed, Botham. This is his brother, Gene. Botham is the one that was killed. Brandt Brant is here hugging Amber after she has been sentenced. I'm told that when he took the witness stand during the sentencing, he spoke directly to her and he tells her, "I know if you go to God and ask him, he will forgive you. I love you just like anyone else, and I'm not going to hope you rot and die." Brant continues speaking to Amber. "I personally want the best for you. I wasn't going to say this in front of my family. I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you because I know that that's exactly what Botham would want for you." Give your life to Christ. I think giving your life to Christ is the best thing Botham would want for you. Now he ends up getting invited to speak on Good Morning America. And while on Good Morning America, he says this, "This is what you have to do to set yourself free. I didn't really plan on living the rest of my life hating this woman." I don't know about you, but this man is 18 years old, and it speaks very highly of someone who is very wise beyond his years. If you have your Bible and you want to open up to our main scripture, it's also going to be on the screen. We're in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. "Then Peter came up and said to him, 'Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. Now I'm reading to you from the English Standard Version, and I know some of you have other scriptures, other versions that say 7 times 70. There is a disagreement on what the manuscripts say that we have. But understand, the number is not important. I think Jesus, to me here, what he's saying is, don't keep an account. He's not saying, you know, get your calculator out and track it once you reach this certain number. To me, he's throwing out a number to say, don't count it. Just keep doing it. Earlier in this chapter, Jesus was telling, suggesting ways that Christians can work and wrestle amongst themselves in dealing with issues where somebody has mistreated you. So I'm wondering here, possibly Peter, mulling over some of what Jesus had said, is thinking about this forgiveness. So he asks the question, "How often should I forgive my brother who has sinned against me?" 7. Now, you and I don't know how you feel about that, but that does seem like kind of a big number. I've been forgiven 7 times. Now, this is not in your Bible. This is a historical thing that I have read, that it's believed that the Jewish religious leaders at the time, the rabbis, suggested that you forgive 3 times. You should forgive 3 times, and then after that, you've been released. You don't have to forgive anymore. So here, Peter possibly is thinking, you know, I've learned a little bit about Jesus. I know Jesus is saying, you have heard, and now I'm telling you, Jesus is expanding things. I just can't help but think, you know, as you get to know Peter, he's got to say something, and, you know, here's how I think things ought to be. And so I imagine Peter maybe is thinking 7's a big number. You know, he doubles what the rabbis were teaching him. What I think possibly the rabbis teach, and even adds one for good measure, 7 times. And Jesus responds, and he says, no, 7 times 70, or 7 times 7. In other words, many times. Peter, I understand what you're saying. Yes, you're trying to reach out and say that you're going to be forgiving. You're missing it, Peter. I want you to go even beyond that. Matthew chapter 18, now verse 23. Jesus now begins to give a parable. He's giving an explanation as to what he means by this. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. Now listen, when Jesus says the kingdom of heaven, what he's saying is this is the way things ought to be. This is the way things will ultimately be amongst those of us who proclaim to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in the end time, that everything is perfect. This is the way it's going to be. But ultimately, he's also saying this is the way you should choose to live today. This is the kingdom of heaven. This is how we should be living today. If we consider ourselves under God's rule, under God's kingdom today, this is how you should live. He said, therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when the same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. Again, this is what is often referred to as the parable of the unforgiving servant. So Jesus here is saying, okay, you want to speak of forgiveness, you want to talk about how much you should forgive. Understand, Peter, you're not fully understanding what I'm telling you about having a forgiving heart, how you should be living out your life today. So he tells him this story. He speaks of this king who's attempting to settle his accounts. You know, I suppose maybe this king, this authority figure, is just, he woke up one day and he just thought, well, I wonder how I'm doing. I wonder how I'm being treated. Now, I'm picturing this king that Jesus is talking about maybe has thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people in his realm. And he has an accountant that keeps track, that has a little book. He says, bring out the books. Come and tell me what's going on. And I can't help but think that maybe this accountant maybe begins to immediately come to mind. This one guy comes to mind. Listen, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you, there's a guy here who owes you a huge sum of money. The Bible speaks of, Jesus uses the word 10,000 talents. And I'll be honest with you, when I attempt to realize and want to share with you all what this money means, I get so many different variables as to what it means. But the one point that I have got that seems clear is this is a large number. That was the largest denomination that they had at the time, I read. So Jesus is saying, listen, 10,000 of the largest denomination that you could think of at this time. So I'm just going to use a huge number to get the point across. In my illustration, I'm going to say $1 billion. See, the point is this man owed something that he could never pay. And think about this. If someone owes him this much money, how could he have got to this position to have owed this much money? Can you think that something not right was going on? This was something beyond just a matter of borrowing something or utilizing something. He had done something evil and maybe had been doing it for years to have got this point that he owed all of this money. Jesus is wanting to make the point he is beyond the ability to pay this. It cannot be paid. It would never be able to be. No one living at this time would have been able to repay that amount. So again, just to give you an eye here, to give you a visual of what he's saying and concerning these different denominations, I'm going to say the first guy owed $1 billion. And the second guy, who it's mentioned him owing denarii. Again, I don't know exactly what that means. There's different places tell you different things, but the point is it's a small amount. A much smaller amount, a much smaller denomination. And I'm just going to, this is Rick's version. I'm going to say it's a couple hundred dollars. The second guy owes a couple hundred dollars. So the king says, boy, this servant of mine, bring him before me. I want to, maybe he's going to ask some questions. We don't know what all went on, but he wants, you know, settle this debt. Listen, you owe me all this. And you know, this is beyond your ability to pay. I'm going to take you and I'm going to put you into debtor's prison. I'm going to put you in, as a matter of fact, I'm going to take your family. I'm going to put you in the prison until you pay all. And understand, both of them knew there was no paying it. What he owed was way beyond being paid. He was being given a life sentence. All of his assets are going to be sold. So the man, knowing where he stands between him and this king, begs him, pleads for him. Doesn't give any excuse, he just pleads for him. And the king in turn forgives him. You're forgiven. Go on. So the man leaves, you know, and imagine feeling this big, huge sense of something's been lifted off his shoulders. You ever have that in your life when you feel like you were standing in front of somebody, you were dealing with something, and all of a sudden it's been taken care of. I can quit worrying about that. And he's going along, I imagine he's almost like he's a foot off the ground, right? He's just feeling good about his day. The sun is shining. He's speaking kindly to people. He's saying hello to people we never said hello to for years. He's just feeling great about himself. And all of a sudden, he comes across somebody that has been grating him for a while, that owes him some money. He borrowed a little bit of money from him, or somehow there was some kind of debt there that took place. And we hope, you know, now he's been forgiven so much, he now in turn is going to be forgiving now, right? He's going to have a heart of forgiveness. We hope, we wish that's what happened. But we see here Jesus says, no, this man totally forgot what happened to himself. And he goes to this man and says, pay me what you owe. I want it all now. Where is it? And he is so angry with him. Imagine the anger that he grabs him around. The Bible says he's choking him. I'm picturing him physically putting him against the wall or maybe down on the ground. Where is my money? I want you to repay me. And the man responds with, I'm sorry, forgive me. Now again, the man should have thought for a moment, his mind should have went back to what had just happened to him. Oh, that's right, I was in that same position. But no, he's totally forgot all about that. All he's thinking about is this man and what he had done to him. He wants him back. So he takes him and throws him in debtor's prison. And then he goes on feeling good about himself. He's resolved that issue. However, as quite often happens, right? Somebody begins to whisper around about what's going on. Somebody goes and tells. Maybe it's the accountant. Maybe the accountant knew the guy. I don't know. Somebody goes back into the king and says, hey, you know what happened? You know what's happening in your realm? You know what happened today? The king is livid. Bring that man back in front of me. Now how do you think he's feeling about that stuff that lifted off his shoulder? He goes and he stands before the king, and now the king says, shouldn't you have went and had the same attitude I had for you towards others? Shouldn't you have in turn forgive that little minor debt? I have forgiven you so much. And the man has nothing to say. There is no answer. There is no excuse. Jesus, in Jesus' illustration, the man is tossed into prison. And again, he's given a life sentence. Telling him, I'm not releasing to you, pay it all. And understand, what he owes is a debt that he cannot pay. It is beyond his ability. It is beyond anyone's ability to be able to pay that. There's four things that I want to mention to you this morning that I want to draw out of this illustration, this conversation between Peter and Jesus about forgiveness. The first one is I want you to see that God is merciful. God is merciful. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for that. Secondly, I want you to see that Jesus is commanding us, be merciful. You be merciful. Thirdly, I want to talk to you just a little bit about what forgiveness isn't. I want to talk to you, I think we sometimes might wrestle amongst ourselves as what forgiveness is and how we get past it. Forgive it. I want to tell you some things, a few things that forgiving is not. And lastly, I want to tell you that you can forgive. You can forgive. God is merciful. Is he not? Go back and read through the history of Israel and how often God is speaking to them. He's sending people. He's warning them. He's telling them again. He's forgiving them. He's telling them they're turning from him. And he speaks to them. He attempts to wake them up. And he again forgives them when they turn to him again and again. And I don't know if you've been a Christian for very long, if you see this in your own life, but I would imagine you recognize the same thing is happening in your life, that you need this continual mercy. Praise God, I serve a God who is merciful. Psalm 116 and 5 says, "Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful." I don't know if you're an individual who writes in your Bible, who makes notes, but I think this scripture that I'm going to share with you is a good one to keep track. I think it's very important for you from time to time to go back and read this. This is 1 John 1:9. I understand this is a verse speaking to Christians. Go back and read 1 John. Understand, John is talking to Christians, to people who have proclaimed themselves to be followers of Jesus Christ. This is not about becoming a Christian. This is about the individuals who are Christians, who proclaim themselves to be followers. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Couldn't you just meditate on this verse all day? We could begin a whole new sermon just talking about what this means. If we individually choose to confess, He is faithful. God is faithful and just. It is, in other words, God sees it as justice. He sees it as right and good that He forgives you when you ask. He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't know if you understand it this morning, but I want to tell you wholeheartedly, I serve, and I hope you serve, a God who is merciful. Secondly, here I think Jesus makes it pretty clear. You be merciful. You are to be merciful. Understand, this is not a request, but a demand from Jesus. I didn't read the last section. You see, Jesus is having a conversation with Peter, and I would imagine surely there's others around as well listening to this. But as Jesus is speaking to Peter, answering his questions, he shares this parable. And I left out some important words that he shared after he finished the parable, Matthew 18 and 35. After he's finished with the parable, Jesus says, "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." I know what some of you are probably doing already. You're thinking, boy, there's a slippery word in there, brother. Now, some of you may not even have brothers. I understand here, the term brother here, and Jesus talks so much about how we are to love our enemies. He's not telling you to narrow it down, and I know some people want to do that. I'm going to reread this in Rick's version, which I think this is what Jesus here is saying. "So also my Heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive others who have harmed you from your heart." I believe that's exactly what Jesus here is saying. Others who have harmed you, others who have harmed your family. God here, Jesus, God's Son, is giving us a command. You are to go and forgive. I don't know about you, but those are some strong words. He's not just saying, hey, if you think about it, when you get time, you know, put it on your list. If you put it, you can put it down the bottom of your list. That's okay. No, he's saying, go and do this. This is a command from Jesus Christ. Could his words be any stronger? Thirdly, I want to tell you, I want to share with you something I think is important to have in mind. You know, we have this idea of forgiveness. Some have suggested that we forgive and forget. Somebody harms me and I forgive and forget. I remember having a conversation with a lady, and I know I shared this with Wednesday night Bible study, I think, here at this church not that long ago, but I want to share with you all. I'm sure some of you haven't heard it. We were talking about forgiveness in the Sunday school class, and she was concerned. Yeah, I'm going to guess the lady was maybe in her late 70s, and she was just torn up. She thought, I know Jesus asked me to forgive, but I'm just really wrestling with this. I can't forget it. I shared with her this story. I said, listen, I said, think about it from this way. If you're walking down the street every day, maybe you're going to the local store to go buy bread, and you walk down the street and you have a neighbor there who's right next door to you, and just as you walk by, thunk, he hits you on the top of the head with a shovel. So you walk on by and you say, I forgive you, I forgive you, and you go by and you do your business. Next week, it's time to go get bread again. You're walking down the street, and there he is standing there with his shovel again, and you're thinking, ah, surely not. Surely not. And you walk by, thunk, and you keep on walking. Well, I forgive you. I forgive you. Next week, you start walking down that street again. Now you're already, before you even leave, you're thinking about it. You're stressed out, just leaving your house. I'm not even sure if I want to get bread this week, but I got to get it. I got to feed the family. So you walk down the street. There he is. How is it that every day that you're going to need bread, he's standing out there digging the dirt? I don't know why, but he's there. Once again, surely he's not. I've forgiven him twice. He's not going to do it now. I still love the man. Thunk. I forgive you. It's getting hard, right? It's getting hard, but I forgive you. Let me ask you, the next day, when you're walking down that street, which side of the street should you walk on? I hope you say, I'm going to get on the other side of the street. Listen, we don't forget when somebody's hurt us. And that's a value for us. Right? We need to learn things, right? There are some things in life that we need to learn, and sometimes we get ourselves in situations where we got hurt, and we ought to avoid that. We're not supposed to continue to go in and allow someone to intentionally bring harm upon us. God is not saying, regularly, voluntarily choose yourself to be abused. Listen, there may be a time that you need to separate yourself, that you need to get out of a relationship, that you need to change something in your life to avoid someone that keeps hurting you. Forgiveness is also not letting them off the hook. You know, when we want to, you know, when I forgive somebody, I said, I can't do that because they need punished. Understand, you know, and I'm going to tell you, there's no doubt in my mind, there's people in here right now that have probably been hurt in ways that I've never been hurt. Some of you may have been hurt in ways that just would blow my mind. But listen, you're sitting there thinking, I can't let them off the hook. I don't think in any way, shape, or form concerning forgiveness that God is telling us that we should report to the authorities if someone who's hurt us. Right? There's a time and a place when you need to report when somebody is hurt. We can still forgive them. I can report that somebody has hurt me at work. One of my coworkers, I'll pick on Dan Foy for a second, right? He mistreats me at the plant. I can still have a forgiving heart towards him, and yet at the same time go let my boss know that, listen, hey, every time I work with him, he hits me in the head with a shovel. Would you, as the authority, take care of this? And I'm not going to share with you, but I've had incidents, not with him, I've had incidents with individuals who have hurt me. And I've done that. Listen, I don't think that's what Jesus is not saying, that you should never report or respond in some way when somebody's hurt you, but he's talking about from your heart how you should think about an individual, how you should still continually care about this individual. Understand here, he's asking us to do something that is supernatural. God knows that. It is so natural. You know, watch little kids on the elementary school outside. You know, somebody pushes you. What is most often the first response? You shove back. That's just what you do. That is the innate response that we have. And we don't change as we get older. They're still a part of us. Somebody does something. Listen, the people that you love the most, be honest with you, when they say something that irritates you, then the first thing that you have, your thought comes to your mind, is, I'm going to get them back. Right? Happens in my home. My wife or daughter says something to me harsh, bam, boy, I'm going to give it right back to them. And I don't even have to think about it, right? It just happens. That is our natural response. God knows that. God knows that this is not an easy thing to do. But he still asks that of us. And he knows that it's a supernatural thing. And listen, he's saying, you'll need my help to do this. You are going to need my help. I'm not asking you to do this on your own. And I don't want to tell you, just as an example for me, I've had people that have hurt me, and I started out with, God, I don't want this person forgiven. He has hurt me. I understand, God, this is what he's done to me. However, you said to forgive him, so right now I'm telling you I want to, but I can't yet. But I want to tell you, as I have done that, I've seen in my own life that God has moved me to a point of actually having compassion for somebody who's hurt me. Because I want to tell you, for someone who's continued hurting you like that, they're hurt. They're a hurt person. There's something in their life that needs to change. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. God has been able to do that, and I hope and pray that those of you who've had those situations, that others of you have came to that same point. I can find a point in my life. It takes time. It's a process. I can speak for myself. Maybe some of you can just say, wham, and it's done. But for me, quite often, it's a little bit of a process. Lastly, I want to make a point that you can. You can. I've heard people say that, I cannot. I'm here to tell you that you can. I'm not saying that based on what I said. I'm saying that because it's what the Word of God said. While in boot camp in the Marine Corps, it was not uncommon for our drill instructors to ask us to do some things that were impossible. And they knew they were impossible. They would ask us to, say, for instance, get up out of our beds, and we call them the rack. Get out of your rack. Get out of your rack. Have your boots on. Have your uniform on. Have your everything set up straight. Get your rifle. And I want you to be out here and standing at attention in 2 minutes. And then you start counting down. You know, and you get down to the last minute or so, and you say, 60. 59, 58, 30, 10, 2, you're done! I mean, they kept constantly doing this. And they knew full well they were asking something of us that was impossible. They were attempting to. I'm not going to get into the psychology of the Marine Corps, but you get the point. There are times when they ask for us to do things that was absolutely impossible. They knew it, and eventually we come to know it as well. God's not going to ask of you to do anything that's impossible. I serve a God that will not ask of you anything that he is not willing to equip you to do what he asks of you. He's not going to ask you to go do something and not give you a tool to go do that. I know you need his help. You need the Holy Spirit. You need his strength. You need wisdom. Maybe you need a fellow Christian to come alongside you and have a conversation with you. But understand this morning, I'm telling you, and I say this with all my heart, you can. What Brant did for Amber is a great example. I don't know about you, but I'm in awe of what he did. Now listen, I don't know these people's lives. I don't know what else is going on in their life. All I know is what I saw And I want to encourage you, listen, if you want to go back and you want to read into this story, seek that video out. He actually gave her a hug, the one who had killed his brother, who was sitting in his own apartment eating ice cream. This is a great example. Jesus, obviously, if you're a Christian here this morning, you know Jesus gave us a greater example. When he chose to forgive you and I, though we did not deserve, and we had a debt that we could not pay. And when you think about that cross, Jesus standing there in one of the most vulnerable positions you can be, right? How vulnerable can you be as far as physically around somebody else? When you think about Jesus hanging on that cross, he made himself vulnerable. He opened himself up. And he's saying, come unto me. All you are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I want to, you understand, Jesus is wanting to relieve us of the burden of the pain that we're carrying. He wants to relieve us of it. And part of the way he relieves us of that is when we choose to obey him in this. He knows it's hard, but listen, he's not going to ask us to do anything that he's not giving us whatever it takes to do that. Lastly, I want to share with you from Luke. Luke chapter 6, verse 35 and 36. Jesus says, but love your enemies. Can't argue about that word. Enemy just basically means anyone who's harmed you. Listen, that could be in your family, in your neighborhood, in your work, in another country. Jesus says, love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be the sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. I think this is one of the ways that we are the most like God. This is one of the ways that we reflect God in a way that is powerful for us. But listen, it's also powerful for those who are around us. Even though I'm going to tell you, because I've been there, sometimes when you forgive somebody, there's people around you that think you're crazy. May even get angry with you to think you can't do that. But it makes a statement. And Jesus is saying, when you choose to do that, you're making a statement that you're one of mine. You're reflecting, your actions is reflecting what I do and what I have done for you. I've forgiven you much. Now I'm asking you, Jesus says, to go and forgive as well. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Sometimes I wonder, those of us who are withholding forgiveness, do we not quite realize what we've been forgiven of? Let's pray.